been to the Netherlands lately, you might have noticed how tall many of the people there are, especially the men. That's because they're now the tallest nation in the world. But it wasn't always like this. The largest ever analysis of height measurements from nearly 1.5 million people across the globe and spanning more than a century reveals how height has changed. Catani spoke to Imperial College's James Bentham, who was part of the team behind the study, to get the lowdown on the world's height over the past 100 years.
So the tallest people were in Scandinavia, they were in the USA, Canada, Australia and so on, and also some Pacific Islands. The shortest people were in parts of Central America, they're in the Middle East, in Southeast Asia. The average height of men was around 5'7" in the tallest countries. The average height of women was much shorter.
And now, how has that changed? Again, where are the tallies and where are the shorties and how much have they grown?
The tallest people now are in Europe. So the top 10 countries for both men and women are European countries. On the other hand, the countries that have grown are spread around the world. So the countries that have grown the most are in East Asia. So Japan and South Korea have grown particularly dramatically. Iranian men are much taller. And then there's been a lot of growth in Southern Europe as well.
So this hasn't been across the board, the whole world is getting taller. There are unevennesses.
There are big unevennesses, yes. So every country in the world has grown taller, but some have only grown taller by a matter of a centimetre or so, whereas other countries, for example, women in South Korea are 8 inches taller than they were.
Wow, I wish I could, could be 8 inches taller. And are there any countries that are actually getting smaller?
There are countries that are smaller than they were 30 years ago or 40 years or so.
So they had a peak and now they're getting shorter again.
Yes, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. We see this in various countries there. They reached a peak and since then the height has declined by 5 to 10 centimetres.
So, Majid, we've heard how the data has changed, how these trends have changed. Some countries have got taller and then plateaued. Some countries are getting much taller and some have got taller and then dropped off. What's behind these patterns of changes?
We do know from decades of work in nutrition and in physiology that height is really a matter of nutrition, environment, and the care that they get. And in some sense, the changes, the improvements, and the variations reflect better and worse social, nutritional, and environmental conditions during pregnancy, in early childhood, and in adolescence. And they reflect that accumulation of that advantage versus adversity.
As a geneticist, I know that there's a certain proportion of height that is in the genes and a certain proportion that's to do with environment. How does that balance out in different countries? Do we think that maybe some countries have better height genes than others?
Sure. I mean, if we take a snapshot at one moment in one population, genes are hugely important. And again, some of the sort of best studies seem to show that, 20-30% is due to genes. But genes don't change very fast over time. It's really environment and it's the nutrition. And, while there may be variations in genes between different countries, the belief is that its role is much smaller than differences in environment and nutrition.
So if it does mostly boil down to nutrition, what kind of foods are important?
So we should remember that nutrition isn't just about food. It's about the conditions in which a fetus grows, so the mother having a good environment and good nutrition. And it's about maintaining the nutrition. Food does matter, and animal products, animal proteins, and dairy are quite helpful for growing taller. They include the components and nutrients that helps with growth. But it should also be the case that those nutrients are maintained. So a child who lives in a home that doesn't have clean water and actually gets repeated sort of diarrhea, they lose any nutrition that they would be getting, or a child that doesn't have ready and high quality access to healthcare so that they are treated when they get an infection, when they have an illness, those things matter.
Why is it important? Obviously, it's very interesting from a data nerdery point of view to look at height and see how things have changed and we can draw some cool graphs. But why does height matter? What does it reflect?
Greater height is associated with longer longevity and better education and economic performance. So it's really the connection between early life conditions and later life health. For that reason, it says a lot about how a society thinks about its future.
So, James, just one final question. I am 5 feet tall, about 152 centimetres. Where in history would I have been tall?
In 1914, you would have been tall in Guatemala because the average height of Guatemalan women then was 4'7". And you'd still be taller than average there because the average height there is 4'11".
So basically, I need to move to Guatemala.
Yes, essentially, that's the answer.
Me too. And certainly not a tall story, was it? That's Imperial College's James Bentham and before him, Majid Azati. And their paper describing those findings was published this week in the journal eLife.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Connie Orbach, and Chris Smith. If you've got any questions or comments, then why not tweet us at Naked Scientists, email chris@thenakedscientist.com, or find us on Facebook.
Now, moving on to the main part of the show, this week we're taking a look at how to handle the heat. From boosting the efficiency of jet engines to going for gold in the tropical Rio climate, our ability to cope in high temperatures can make the difference between falling or flying. And as we'll find out later, the challenge also reaches into outer space.
But before that,